Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
Lerieux, Saint-Laurent-du-Pape, France, 1st of January 2026.
Buongiorno a questo giorno che si sveglia oggi con me. Buongiorno al latte ed al caffè. Buongiorno a chi non c'è. E al mio amore buongiorno per dirle che lei, che per prima al mattino vedere io vorrei, è un giorno nuovo e spero che sia buono anche per te. Buongiorno cari figli miei, buongiorno a tutti voi. Pensate al giorno che verrà come una novità ed un dono inatteso che va arricchirà di una nuova esperienza che si può ballar. È un passo nuovo e un altro ancora e il mondo cambierà. La dovrai, è un vestito da sera che tu indosserai. È una festa con mille invitati, un po' belli e un po' odiati, con cui ballerai. Ma è danzando la vita che tu imparerai, di ogni grande proposito un passo che fai. È un giorno nuovo anche per te, festeggialo con me. Che tu imparerai che ogni grande proposito un passo che fai è un giorno nuovo e prego che sia tutto da ballare.
Ciao Ciccia, allora la mia c'ha 15 pezzi ed è un po' lunga perché ci sono pezzi da, non so, 6 minuti, mi sa che c'è quello degli Orb, vabbè, cose così. E anche J Electronica, mi sa che anche quel suo pezzo è lungo, però bello, bello. Ci sono infatti dei pezzi che su cui sono...
Oh,
canzone di Freddie Kay, devo andare, io non posso più aspettare.
Yes, hello and welcome to My House in Your House. This is your host Thalo speaking, and we just heard DJ Rush, the one and only. And this track was from an album called Mental Problems from 2001. And yeah, who doesn't have mental problems in this political climate, in this crazy world? Well, I think we the people are not the one with the mental problems. Perhaps we are the ones actually with the solutions. So yeah, starting out with crushing the patriarchy and the capitalism right from the get-go. Let's continue hearing some amazing music that can lead to escapism, which is totally fine for an hour. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. The next track is Helena Hauff from Hamburg with Dreams in Color.
My house in your house.
Yes, this track has such a nice retro feel to it. Yeah, so we're sitting in a new location this time, and the coming times will be sending from here. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm kind of on the West Coast now, and I have a really beautiful view here from a big window in the studio. I can see the sky, which is different light blue colors, and big gray clouds are moving fast because it's quite windy today, and there are some birds, you know, flying fast across the sky on and off. And yeah, it's been snowing and it's pretty cold outside, so yeah, let me just warm you up a bit if it's snowing at your part of the world as well. The next track is called Your Love.
This is episode 458 of the... Nope.
Is it 458?
This is episode 459 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of March 14th through March 20th, 2026. What's new this week? DS Book Club, Born of Struggle, Living in Hope, from Dying Scene by Forest Goddess. Dying Scene is a punk music site, looks like, but also apparently has a book club. And this article is about a book called Born of Struggle, Living in Hope, The Anarcho-Punk Lives of the Centro Iberico, 1971 to 1983. That's by Nick Soulsby. Centro Iberico was a publisher in London, started by anarchist Spanish author Miguel Garcia Garcia, and which started by publishing Black Flag. This is a brief book report, perfectly fine as far as it goes. I will note that the phrases are either went by the wayside or put aside, but the point gets across, so whatevers.
The Relevance of the Prairie Land Conviction to Printers and Zine Distributors, from Anonymous. A work explicitly in process that takes the recent terrible first stage of this historic case and starts a conversation about how that changes things for people in the U.S., who read and write or collect readings or writings. While this might have been better placed in the form category on the site, maybe it'll get moved there once it's not on the front page anymore. It hasn't gotten a lot of play in the comments, but it's a tough topic.
Igniting Sparks Gathering at Emberfield Eco Village, from Anonymous, an event notification that doesn't give a link, any contact information, or the date it's happening. Luckily, a commenter informs us of at least the dates. Quote, we will be starting a community cabin, spreading gravel for a road, making and sharing meals, planting trees and gardens, and many other off-grid community building activities. There will be people involved who have been involved in intentional community life for years, and have gatherings like this for years, inviting people to gather for these weeks to help these eco-villages during gatherings, cooking, building, gardening, planting trees, gathering wood, and other chores. Unquote. Lots of experience doing things, even if those things are not announcing events.
Iran. They supported the dictator when our voices were silenced. From Anarchist Front by Ravi. A piece that mostly expresses frustration with inadequate and unclear and sometimes bad faith support from leftists internationally, as well as informing what life is like in Iran at the moment. Quote, the flag those lefties carry is not even a local and widely supported sign. The society I live in is diverse, with Muslims and other groups living side by side, so a specific Islamic symbol cannot be considered a local flag and symbol of the community that represents a large population of us. This symbol mostly belongs to a Muslim Shia government, which is a totalitarian theocratic system. This government suppresses and kills protesters for asking for their basic rights. Here in Iran, we have got no free media. Internet is down, and it's 10 days that I'm trying to get connected to the international internet to see what's going on in the world. Unquote.
Black Flag, Anarchist Review, Spring 2026 issue, now out. From blackflag.org.uk. Speaking of Black Flag, it's still occasionally showing its particular kind of history, this time with pieces from the 1880s, the early 1900s. I was excited for a second to see something written in 1976, but then noted that it's on another piece that was written in 1926. There is an email address for those who, quote, want to contribute rather than moan at those who do, whether it's writing new material or letting us know of online articles, reviews, or translations, unquote. There's your invitation.
Against War and Militarism, Governments and the State, Capitalism That Cannot Live Without War. From Kurdish-speaking Anarchist Forum, pretty comprehensive rejection of wars and states. Quote, as the wars in Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, etc. have shown, no war between governments, militias, and parties has anything to do with the dreams of the poor and powerless, but for the hidden goals of global companies, and we see that the first and main victims of these wars will be the people in whose name the wars are waged. Unquote. In before commentary from Wayne.
Straight edge anarchist zine seeking submissions from Uncivilized Distro. Quote, Uncivilized Distro is taking submissions for a new zine, Anarchy with an X. This zine project is all about radical sobriety, straight edge, temperance, and related abstinence cultures and lifestyles, and their relationships with anarchy and abolition. Unquote. Fleshes out that idea a little and includes logistics about how to submit.
How to submit to being straight edge, or how to submit pieces? Anti-authoritarian contingent to the anti-authoritarian contingent to the March 28th No Kings rally in so-called Olympia. From Puget Sound Anarchists. Call for folks to come meet each other and hang together during an event sure to be claimed by various politicians. Quote, obscured by an ocean of American flags, away from the nonprofits and usual predatory orgs that see any struggle as a fundraiser or recruitment drive, there are others amongst the crowd who feel the same anger at inaction. This anger is isolating. The normalized horrors of everyday life and survival is unbearable enough without a rally full of supposedly radical chants left unactualized. We want to break with that normalcy. We want to act together and are looking for the opportunity to do so, or in our better moments, making that opportunity and taking it. Unquote.
Anarchists Pavel Shpetny and Alexander Zolyanko have been released from Anarchist Black Cross Belarus. Excellent news for these two, who are both in Lithuania now. This announcement provides links for support and points out that people getting out of prison is only the beginning of a long recovery process, but it's a great first step.
Asphalt plant of Vinci Yorovia on fire. From Act for Freedom Now. A German asphalt company is set alight. And for anyone who doesn't get the connections between oil-based extraction and production and many of the ills in our society, here they are explained and enumerated. Quote, the late capitalist world system is in the midst of profound upheaval, and war is becoming the new normal. Isn't upheaval becoming the new normal?
Yeah.
While the remaining natural world serves only as a source of raw materials to be plundered before others do. Companies such as Vinci are benefiting across the entire spectrum from these developments. Unquote.
Colonization in the Kronika Subversiva from Transmetropolitan Review. Announcing a reprint of a short article on colonization, written before it was a byword, written in 1906 by Italian anarchist Antonio Cavalazzi, and originally published in the Kronika Subversiva, which he co-edited. The entry here sets context for Cavalazzi and his friend Malatesta.
Is that like Subversive Chronicles?
Yes.
Eternal anur to the anarchist Lambros Fountas. From Dark Knights. March 10th marked the 16th anniversary of Fountas' death. This piece is a timely contextualization of the Greek group revolutionary struggle, member Lambros Fountas, his death, and some of the things that were going on at the time. Quote, comrade Lambros Fountas and his actions, the actions of revolutionary struggle during that period, sought to ensure that faith in the capitalist system and its restabilization would not find fertile ground. Alongside the social reactions and uprisings of those years, comrade Lambros Fountas was destined to become the figure who embodied all the anxiety of society during that period. Because he was the armed fighter of all those who resisted the Troika and the institutions, the Greek state, and the policies of social extermination for the economic consolidation of the capitalist system. Because he is the first and the last casualty of the struggle against the memorandum. Because he was and remains the voice of the necessity, then, now, and always, of the social revolution. Unquote. When did we start capitalizing comrade as like an honorific?
We... Claim of responsibility for incendiary attacks by anarchist cell Lambros Fountas from Dark Knights. Attacks on the homes of police. Quote, we dedicate these actions to the memory of our anarchist comrade and member of revolutionary struggle, Lambros Fountas, who fell fighting in an armed clash in Daphne on March 10th, 2010. Lambros was an exemplary fighter who advanced the multifaceted struggle with social revolution as its goal. He participated in every aspect of anarchist action, from assemblies, marches, and clashes with the forces of repression to revolutionary armed struggle. Unquote.
Obituaries. Diamond Dave Whitaker, rest in power, brother. From LibCom by Hieronymus. On the passing of a decades-long Bay Area regular. This is mostly personal, political, and cultural anecdotes that also happen to involve Diamond Dave, by someone who didn't know him well but knew him long, apparently. Quote, I can hear Diamond Dave's voice in my head reminding us all to find the common thread of history and keep not only Country Joe's legacy alive, but to keep the memory of the influence of his mom, Florence McDonald, alive too. Unquote. I mean, sure.
How's it going? This is Vale, coming to you today with Larkspur and with Denim. Say hi, friends.
Hi.
Larkspur.
What's up? It's the Big Denim.
The Big Denim.
The Big Denim.
Coming to you live from the Jump Pound. But yeah, we're here having a discussion. There wasn't a topic of the week, but I think the thing that's been on everybody's lips this week is definitely the Prairie Land conviction. The defendants that neither pled guilty nor turned state's witness, the 9 defendants of the Prairie Land, Texas, noise demo outside of the ICE facility on the 4th of July that have been basically all handed a fairly swift sentence of largely counts of committing conspiracy to commit acts of terrorism. There was a charge of attempted murder in there due to the nature of the shots fired upon police that, as far as like what police say, I guess, and the defenses was basically unable to present any evidence to the contrary or to establish a narrative of self-defense in front of the court, which resulted in a pretty horrendous court decision that is now between guilty verdicts being handed down and sentencing, so we are kind of awaiting hearing further, like, what the ultimate result of the Prairie Land 9, I believe, decision will be. And this also for relevance, if people haven't been aware and stuff, but they are aware of the case of Des Revel, who people have also been kind of separately attempting to support due to their kind of, I would say, maybe like spurious connection for basically the crime of possession of zines and like books of anarchist literature that people are equating to material support for terrorism or basically like terroristic conspiratorial evidence that was attempted to be concealed. Des Revel is also one of the defendants in the Prairie Land 9, along with, I believe, their partner, or I don't know if it's, yeah, but yeah, basically, this is a bit of a shit show. I feel like it has actually kind of escaped the discussion of solely anarchists. I know The Intercept wrote up a piece that was kind of discussing the kind of attack on criminalized protest and stuff that I think one probably would do well to read to understand generally what the verdict and the basically the steamrolling of the state upon the defendants, what that means, I guess, as far as establishing precedent to criminalizing forms of protest, especially militant forms of protest, or I guess people are saying like the criminalization of like complete criminalization of like block of probably instances of armed protest or suspicion, that being linked to suspicion to commit terroristic acts, propagandistic materials, anything like that. But yeah, that piece was on The Intercept this past week. And on A News, there was also this piece that specifically is like a draft. I don't know if they're ever going to make a non-draft statement, but I mean, they've had a little time, but the relevance of the Prairie Land conviction to printers and zine distributors, which I feel like a lot of people maybe in the zone that I occupy more as like someone involved more in the distribution and dissemination of like propagandistic materials and stuff myself probably encounter a little more of in the echo chamber. It seems it seems extremely relevant, but also like maybe part of a large outsized concern that is situated in the context of a fairly harder to defend other zone of the rest of the Prairie Land defendants. I don't know. I think I'm getting a little far afield of it. Do we want to lead with any kind of thoughts or initial reactions to this stuff?
Shit's fucked up.
It's bad. It is really bad.
I think people are probably pretty complacent. It's not like this hasn't happened like before, pretty famously, you know, the 1910s with the rounding up of the Gallianistes, mm-hmm. you know, people that were like supporters of Galliani and McGoldman, those kind of types,
right.
where they were like, oh, look at their pamphlets. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, to this day, if you're immigrating to America or if you're even trying to just get a visa to visit, theoretically, if you had one of Galliani's newspapers in your backpack, like, it's still on the books that mm-hmm. you'll be denied. So, kind of, I mean, obviously, it's a horrible precedent to set, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's kind of, I'm always a bit surprised when people are like, man, the state doesn't like that I write books saying we should kill the state. Again, there's obviously in the states, you know, there's precedent for First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Some of that stuff, the reactions around the zines, it's like, yeah, of course, like, I think even before now, if you were arrested at a protest,
yeah,
and you were in block and you did something and you were caught, and they rifled through your stuff, they might use that in the court case. It might not be the strongest piece of evidence. Mm-hmm. This maybe yeah. establishes that more fully.
I mean, it's definitely not the first time that like zines have been like connected to anything, even like recently too. Like there were arrests of, you know, arrests that were linked to like zines or Stop Cop City kind of like materials found at raids and stuff that kind of demonstrated connection to like larger networks of organization and stuff. Yeah, I mean, and also just general like kind of that being part of like state's evidence and stuff to demonstrate like some level of coordination and stuff, that these aren't just like kind of stochastic actors or something, or like coincidences, but something that one can build like a precedent or build like a case to show, you know, conspiratorial activity. Yeah, I think there's a lot to definitely like be, I mean, there's a lot to be you know, fairly like outraged at the state for, of course, with this case. The point that you make too about like, yeah, people are surprised that like this sort of thing like would blow back on them and stuff if they're, you know, creating like anti-state materials and then like faced with legal action from the state and stuff. It's, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, a very like, it's the kind of contradiction of like, what does it mean to like have like a rights-based framework of political speech, but then also like be actively opposed to the institution of like rights-based, you know, rights-based like guarantees for like civil freedoms and stuff. And yeah, Larkspur, you had some thoughts as well besides shit's fucked on that.
I mean, not a ton. I do think it is a not necessarily a reversion, but it's like we have this relationship to this, I don't know, relationship to the state where to liberal democracy. I'm sorry, I'm sort of rambling, but like we live in this sort of like idea of liberal democracy where we as anarchists may not necessarily like agree with that, but we somewhat benefit from things like free speech, the First Amendment, the idea of free association, the idea of political belief, even if it is inimical to the state, which ours is, not necessarily being criminal in and of itself. And I think we are seeing that really rolled back, especially by this administration, or we're seeing that tolerance is only so far, and this is just sort of exposing a much more naked administration of power that was always there, but generally isn't enforced this brutally. Right. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a very, I mean, people have been very critical of the way that the state was, you know, essentially like not putting the fix in from the start, but they rejected the entire argumentation that would allow for, I guess, kind of a refutation of the charges and stuff, which basically disallowed the defense from being able to like present an argument in defense of the defendants. So I think like, I don't believe they were allowed to even run it, like present their case as the defense. I think they were only allowed to do cross-examination of the state's witnesses.
It's a kangaroo court. I mean, everyone needs to stop huffing the First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, you know, gas and like you can see whether it's Sacco and Vanzetti or this. I mean,
right.
Not to compare the two necessarily, but I mean, come on. Like, I think everyone needs to just stop huffing. You know, everyone's high on the right supply, but it's not getting anybody anywhere.
Well, yeah.
If they want to string you up, they're going to string you up. And there's a total, I mean, it's a kangaroo court. Like, if you follow the stuff, it's like brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I first read stuff, like, people are like, there was, you know, people following the case and reporting on it. I think they were at the courthouse. And that's great.
Mm hmm.
And I even had a pretty positive outlook because there have been similar type cases in the past. But once it kind of came down the pipe, it was like, oh, shit. Like, this is, you know, totally set up against them.
I mean,
no matter what they did or didn't do.
I mean, in the last few years, we had seen, you know, like, a fairly massive, like, kind of the state building a massive, like, RICO conspiracy style, like, trial against like people in the Atlanta Forest defense stuff and like the Cop City kind of prosecutions and stuff that, you know, resulted in nothing and the case being completely dismissed and that sort of framework. I mean, it was a legal victory basically for people concerned with their rights and stuff, and people like facing down and being directly confrontational towards the state. Like that's a recent win that we've had, and I think people were hoping that.
I think a big key there though was, to my knowledge, did anyone flip state witness in any of the Atlanta stuff?
I don't believe so. I don't believe.
Okay, that makes it a qualitatively different case because they use a lot of the similar tactics. When right. people flip state's witness, and I would like to maybe get into that. We can do it here, maybe later. Seeing a lot of talk online, I think there's a hint of truth in it about people being like, "Oh, we need to make sure we have, you know, good prisoner support groups, mm-hmm. you know, court support." Which it seems like they did have a pretty good amount of court support, yet so many people still, you know, flip state's witness. I think something, and this, I guess this is getting a little heavy, there's a sort of second kind of angle to that. Like, we should have good state support or good support for people under the state's boot. We should make sure we have good court support. Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta anti-cop city stuff mm-hmm. had a really massive outpouring to support that. I think that does strengthen people, makes them more willing not to talk. But on the flip of that, there's a reality to if people are coming into our spaces or people are organizing with us, when it comes to maybe actions that might get like this, I think there really needs to be definitely something understood that if, you know, and I guess this gets, the problem with this is this maybe gets into like bad jacketing and you don't want to do that. There's all the crazy shit in the 60s. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a reality to the idea that, like, if you are snitching or you're going that way, there will be serious consequences for you. I think that's a reality, and no one's talking about that. I'm not surprised people talk about that on Twitter, but everyone kind of is still in that kumbaya mode that we've had for a long time when talking about organizing and actions. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, there's like kind of a couple sides to that. I mean, when you look at like, you know, pretty like codified, like militaristic criminal conspiracies and stuff that have like kind of codes of silence and stuff, even when the penalty for that sort of thing is like unquestionably death. It doesn't keep people from snitching. Like they were all snitching on each other in like a lot of the organized crime and like East Coast and stuff, and were all too happy to like save their ass if they knew that like serious consequences like death were on the line and stuff. And like, obviously, like, we're not talking about, like, you know, what was it, like, Dr. Bones at some point talking about, like, we need to start copying, like,
the, I was just the about mafia to bring that up. I got it. As I was talking. Yeah, yeah.
It's tempting, but then you all, like, or not you all, but then, like, everyone who, like, has that, like, kind of flicker of, like, oh, we should have a code. Like, a man's got to have a code and honor and stuff with this sort of thing.
I definitely don't mean it like that.
No, but, I know you don't, but it's like, yeah, it's like you forget that, like, oh, yeah, those people were all, like, snitching on each other. Like, that was...
Yeah, yeah.
That actually probably made it a lot easier for the state to, like, get people being even deeper, heavier state's witness and collaborators with, like, surveillance and stuff because of the gravity of what that would mean for them.
That's true. Maybe you just don't let, like, I mean, again, I'm not trying to badmouth people that are involved in the case.